And this morning, I want to begin with an illustration that I hope will help us to really understand the, I guess you want to say the magnitude of the passage we're going to look at this morning. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, looking at verse 31 as you make your way over there this morning. It's an illustration concerning baseball. Now, for those that like baseball, this may be right up your alley. For those who don't like baseball, I hope you still see the point in the illustration when we're finished with this. Back in 1960, the New York Yankees were playing the Pittsburgh Pirates for the World Series. And I wasn't around back then, but found out that the Yankees were, of course, a powerhouse. Seems like they always have been, always are, and either like them or love them or hate them, I think is what they say. Well, they were playing the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they were pretty sure they were going to dominate the series, and they did. And the World Series went to Game 7, and from my understanding, the games that the Yankees won, they won three games leading up to that, and they had just destroyed the Pirates. And then the games that the Pirates won, they just kind of squeaked by, like 1-0, 2-1, just close games. Well, anyway, it got to the seventh game of the World Series, and they said that the Yankees were pretty sure they were going to win. I mean, they had been destroying teams all year long. They were the favorite. And the game was a close game, and then towards the end, the Pittsburgh Pirates kind of pulled away. People began to get excited, of course, they're going to win this game and surprise the Yankees. Well, the Yankees made a comeback at the very end of the game to tie the game and send it into the last inning. They tied it, and the last inning came up. The Pittsburgh Pirates came up to bat. They were the last. They were the home team, last ones to bat, and a man by the name of Bill Mazeroski. Now, he's in the Hall of Fame, but he's not in the Hall of Fame because he could hit, from my understanding. He's there because he was an excellent defensive second baseman. He got up, surprised everybody, and hit a home run to win the game. It's the only home run, from my understanding, hit in the ninth inning of the seventh game of the World Series to win the World Series. I've seen pictures of him coming into home plate, and the whole team's just waiting for him. And I think his helmet's already off, and you know, a big celebration ensued. Anyway, what I found was interesting is Mickey Mantle, he played for the New York Yankees at the time, Hall of Fame player. Later, he would say this of that game. He said it was one of the hardest losses that he ever had in his baseball career. And he said, and the reason why, and here's his quote, he says, "We didn't think we could lose." He goes, "And we were sure that we couldn't lose to the bat of Bill Mazeroski." He surprised him, surprised everybody. This morning, the title of my message is Faith That Was Unlikely. Faith That Was Unlikely. You know, when things surprise us, it just takes us aback for a few minutes and causes us to think a little bit. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31 is where we're going to find our text. It says there, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Now you read that again there. It says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not." This morning I want to show you that faith was found in an unlikely place. It was. You know, we go through Hebrews 11. We've been going through this chapter. And for the most part, each one of the individuals we look at and we say, yeah, we can see that. Joseph, Moses, Abraham, and the list goes on and on of those that are mentioned. And we see, yeah, those were men and women of faith. They loved God. They were called to do great things, to serve the Lord. And then we come to Rahab. And really, when you think about it, it's surprising that she would be found in this chapter, especially when it says Rahab and it says the harlot. But the Bible tells us that she had faith, and she had faith in God. Today the message focuses on a woman that was different than Sarah, different than Moses' mother, Jochebed. Rahab, the Bible tells us, was a harlot. She was an outcast with an immoral past, a sinful past that she had to deal with. We're going to find that faith came, I guess you say, or was found in a notorious sinner. One that was defiled both in her conduct, but also in her religion that she probably grew up with. You see, this morning, I guarantee if you were sent into that city to find the one individual that had faith, you probably wouldn't go to her house. You may go to a leader of the nation, you may go to a religious person, but you probably wouldn't have went to her house and said, "This will be the person that'll have faith in God." But this morning we're going to see faith came in an unlikely place. Let's have a word of prayer before we continue. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you provided. Please guide and direct in this message. I pray that you'll open up our hearts to your word. Help us to not only hear it and read it, but help us, Lord, to really open up our heart to your word this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray you work in the heart of each one of us. Provide the spiritual need that you have, or that we have. Provide the spiritual need each one of us has this morning. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in a minute, we're going to go back to Joshua chapter 2. We'll be looking at some passages there in the book of Joshua to kind of get in context to what was taking place with Rahab and the entire situation. But I want to begin by saying Joshua sent two spies into the city of Jericho. God had promised them the land. God had promised them the city. And so Joshua sent two spies into this city. And the Bible says that Rahab received these spies. She concealed them from the enemy, and she saved their lives. And the Bible tells us that she had faith in God. That's why she did this. She had faith in God. She believed in God. She believed in the Lord. And so she went to this extreme to help God's people. And they guaranteed her safety. They guaranteed that they would protect her and that she would be protected. All they told her that she had to do was to provide an indication on her house so that her house would be spared and that she would be spared when the invasion came. As we're going to see in the next few minutes, I hope we'll see this, that it was due to her faith in God. Her faith in God, the faith that was unlikely that she was blessed. Three thoughts I'll give to you. First, faith came from an unlikely source. Now let's think about Rahab for a minute. Rahab was a lost person. I guess you could say she grew up in a pagan society. Now, I said, really, that's enough said right there. It really is. Any good deed should surprise us. Any bad deed should be, I guess we should expect anything bad. You know, I'll be the first to tell you right now, if the Lord had not saved my soul, I don't know where I'd be right now. I look at some of my friends I grew up with, and I see the direction some of them went, and I'm not saying anything bad about them. They're without God, many of them, living their own life, pleasing their flesh. I don't know where I'd be this morning. I thank God by His grace that I'm saved. I've been forgiven. The Holy Spirit has changed my life. You see, when you begin to look at people of the world, it shouldn't surprise us that they live like the world, that they're in the world. And that's where we find Rahab. She was born and raised. If she wasn't born and raised in Jericho, obviously she was born and raised as a Canaanite in that area. And they had an immoral culture. They placed great emphasis on pleasing the flesh in their religious services and just life in general. Now you think about Rahab as she grew up. Do you realize there were no places of worship? Thank the Lord we have churches this morning. We can get up and go to church on Sunday morning. We can serve the Lord. She had no places of worship where she grew up, at least not worship of the one true God. Also, there were no scripture readings taking place when Rahab was growing up. She didn't have no vacation Bible school. She didn't have no Bible classes, no Bible studies for women as she grew older. There were no prophets proclaiming God's word. Definitely there were no pastors preaching God's word. She grew up in an immoral city, a wicked and pagan city. History tells us that they were religious. But I tell you what, there's a big difference between being religious and then worshiping the one true God. You can be religious and serve all kinds of gods. I call them gods, quote unquote, small g, gods and idols. But that's about as far as it gets. There is no worship of the one true God. Now, according to her society, she probably wasn't a great sinner. What I mean by that is she probably fit in. She was probably one of them. And according to her society, she may have just been an average person. Also, we know she was a single woman. And I'm going to mention this. She did live in fornication. That's what that word means. Matthew Henry puts it this way, and I'm not going to elaborate on it. We got young ears in here, so I'll just leave it like this. Here's the way Matthew Henry put it. She was not only a keeper of a public house, but probably a common woman of the town. And I think we all understand the direction that she lived and the way that she went. You know, women are often held accountable for this sin. But men, many times, are just as guilty. They are. It's a sin that we find in our nation today as well. We find it on our college campuses, that's for sure. We find it throughout our nation, this sin. And that's the sin that she was involved in. Basically, she lived to gratify her flesh. That's what she did. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, here's the difficulty. Here's the difficulty in this passage. The difficulty is that a woman of this type or this sort of character is mentioned alongside the rest of these people. That's where people have the difficulty. That's where they say, well, I'm not sure if she really was that. You know, there have been some who've tried to twist that word and say it meant something else. I don't think you can do an honest translation of that word from the Greek or from the Hebrew in the Old Testament or the Greek in the New Testament and get anything else but what it says. That's what she was. Now, the passage does not excuse her actions. I'm going to tell you what it does. The passage shows that faith in God can overcome a sinful life. That's what we find here. Faith in God overcomes a sinful life. You see, we see a sinful life that was in the past, but we see a new woman that's going towards the future. Now, Rahab placed her faith in God. Turn with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 2. We're going to go over to the book of Joshua just to get a little bit of a understanding of the account of what took place here this morning. Rahab placed her faith in God. I think it appears that she trusted in the Lord before the spies arrived. I think the spies arrived, and that was an opportunity for her to display her faith, that she believed in God, that she trusted in the Lord, that they had served as well. You know, what she knew about God probably came from what she heard on the streets. Maybe at the marketplace. Maybe at the gates of the city. Maybe at the wells when she was getting water. She heard things about this God that was blessing the Israelites. This God who had power and authority and was leading that nation into the new land. You see, she didn't have, like we mentioned before, she didn't have all the luxuries like we have today of hearing about God. But what she did have, evidently, it sunk in. And she heard and she listened. We're going to look real quick at her confession of faith or her testimony a little bit in Joshua chapter 2. And verse 9 or 8 says, "And before they were laid down, and she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto them, Men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Now notice verse 12. "Now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token." You know, in this passage, there's not a whole lot as far as, doesn't get all the details of her personal life and of the decision she made upon her heart. But you'll notice at the end of verse 11, she says, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." I want to point out a few things real quick. I believe that Rahab's faith is displayed here in her words to these men. Now, these were men of God. These were spies sent in by Joshua to spy out the land and do the work that the Lord had for them. And here we see her confession. Now, first, she points out that they knew of God. Not just her, but the entire city. The entire land knew of God. They knew of His power, and they knew of His abilities. You know, this morning, I do believe most people know of God. Now, some want to just ignore His presence on this earth, but or his, I guess you say His showing Himself on this earth. But we know that there is a God. I don't think you can really look around too much at creation and everything else and really believe that there's no God. As a matter of fact, many evolutionists are coming to that understanding. Now, they're not saying it's God. They're saying it's, you know, some intelligent source. But they're starting to recognize that there's more here as far as looking into everything we have in our world than what meets the eye. There is a creator. There is someone who has made and created. Now, I believe that the people understood that there was a God as far as there was a God that was working and that had ability to lead His people. Now, she refers to the Red Sea and what had happened there. Now, keep in mind, the Israelites had wandered for 40 years at this point. So 40 years previously, the people here in the city evidently had heard about what had happened. For about 40 years, maybe 39, 40 years, depending on how fast news traveled back then. But for a length of time, they knew about God. They knew about His existence. They knew about His power to the point where she said that they were fearful. They were afraid because this God was blessing the Israelites and seeing great things take place. Now, Rahab here, I want you to think about it. She was thoughtful and considered what she heard. You know, I don't think we find a woman overcome by an emotional situation. You see, this morning, emotions are real. I mean, each one of us, we have emotions. We get happy, we get sad, we get discouraged. But we got to be careful of our emotions. You know, as pastors, we got to be careful of emotions as well. And teachers, I always encourage our teachers, don't get an emotional decision from somebody. You get someone weeping and emotional, they can tell you anything they want to hear. Make sure they understand what they're saying, what they believe, and they understand what's taking place if they're making a decision for Christ. Here, I believe Rahab made a decision based on what she knew. She reasoned. You know, Paul, in the Bible we find Paul often reasoned with the people. You see, we need to understand some things before we can be saved. And here, I think Rahab understood that God was real, first and foremost. That God was powerful. That God was working. She understood there was a God in heaven. That there was a God that was leading the people of Israel. And that she may have even considered her situation. Here she was in Jericho. The whole town feared. She herself claimed that she was fearful of what was coming. So she understood her situation. And then obviously, she recognized that God was good. And she was going to have faith in God. That God was, things were going to play out the way that God would want them to happen. Now, she feared with everyone else. And I want to point this out. Fear does not necessarily mean someone has repented and gotten things right with God. You can fear something and continue on. You see, here this morning, we find that they feared. They feared God. The whole city feared God. But you know what? She was the only one who forsook her previous life and followed after God. You see, that fear produced an action. It's good to fear. You know, fearing the Lord, we should fear the Lord. I think that's the problem in our society today. There's no respect for God anymore. People don't fear the Lord. They don't respect Him. They don't reverence Him. And sad to say, that's even in some of our churches. The serving the Lord is just entertainment and fun. There's no respect or reverence anymore. We should fear the Lord. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, it's the beginning. That's where it starts. We should fear the Lord. And then we make a decision and put our faith in Him. And that's what she did. She trusted in the Lord. You notice in verse 11 of Joshua 2, she said, "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Those of you that have been involved in your past, and I guess you would call it today the New Age religion. That's basically paganism is what it is. It's found in the Old Testament. It's the paganism of the Old Testament. Do you realize these words here, you don't find that in paganism or the New Age religion. These words that she said, you find in Christianity. The one and only God is what she's referring to. Not many gods, not this God or this one or this power. She's talking about the God in heaven and the God above and the God below, the one God. I think we find here that Rahab understood there was one God, and she put her faith in that one God. You see, the people of Jericho believed in the facts. Rahab believed in the facts. But Rahab went a step further and placed her faith in God. Here's my second thought. That's the unlikely source, Rahab. How about the unlikely situation? Rahab, here in the city of Jericho, we find her there as the spies go in, and she puts her faith in God. She decides to help these men out, believing that God is real and that the city will be overcome, and she asks them to remember her so that way she'll be protected. Now, this woman stood alone, when you think about it, amongst a city of sinners, daring to be different because she trusted God. That's it. She believed the Israelites were God's people. She believed God would deliver the city of Jericho into their hands. She believed God would bless them in a great way. And so she stood firm and put her faith in God so that she could be blessed as well. You know, you think about this. This woman here was not afraid to be the odd one out. That's difficult even for today. We don't like to be the odd one out. Nobody likes to do that. But she was not afraid to be the odd one out because of faith in God. She put her faith in the Lord. You know, it's easy to go with the crowd. It's easy to get caught up in the newest fads or the direction that everybody's going. But it's difficult to go by yourself. Now, I don't think we should go by ourselves just to do it, just to be different. But if God calls upon us to be different because of our new life, because of the direction the world's going and God is saying, don't go that way, then we should be different and be willing to be different. And she was. She was willing to be the odd one out there in the city of Jericho. Now, some of you this morning, you know what it's like to be the only believer in a family. Some of you know what it's like to be the only believer in a house. That's difficult. You know, sometimes we see a teenager saved or a young person saved and the rest of the house is without God. That's a difficult stand to take. Some of you know what it's like to be the only believer in an office where you work, sitting amongst unbelievers, some who just don't care about God. You see, that's difficult to be the only one. That's where Rahab found herself. But this morning, I want to remind you that faith in God provides strength. Strength to take that stand. Strength when times are discouraging. Strength to continue on. Why? Not because we're looking within. Not because we're good enough, but because we're looking to God. And we know that He will keep His word, that He'll provide the power, that He'll lead, He'll guide, He'll direct, and that His timing is always correct. You see, our faith is in God. When we have faith in God, then we will be able to take that stand for God, and we will be able to stand firm. You see, that's why Rahab did this. She put her faith in God. She was simply trusting the Lord. You know, also, Rahab's faith produced action. You know, in James chapter 2, we're not going to turn there, but in James 2:25, for those taking notes, you'll find that James mentions her concerning works, that her faith produced works is what he's talking about. That Rahab had a new life, and that new life produced good deeds. You know, this morning, her actions, I think her actions displayed her faith. You know, true faith will produce good works. You know, many have put the cart before the horse. They're trying to do good deeds and good works, but they haven't repented of their sin and trusted Christ as their Savior. And they're trying to do all these good deeds. First off, I'll tell you what, it's impossible to do those good deeds. You may do some good things, but before God, according to the book of Isaiah, all of our works are as filthy rags. And so it's impossible to do good works without the Spirit and without having a changed life. I believe Rahab had a changed life, so she could produce those good works. She could do what God would want her to do. And so she separated from her old cause. You know, I believe, you know, it talks there about her past being a harlot. I don't believe she was living that way when the spies arrived. I believe that she loved the Lord, she served the Lord. And so the Bible says that she protected them, sent them out, and she followed their direction. She hung that scarlet cord from the window, and later she was spared. Also, the Bible says that she cared about her family. That's another thing true faith will produce, self-denial. You know, we live in a society of me, 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 me. I guess I can go on. Me, me, me. Everything's about ourselves. Everything from, you know, Twitter and Facebook, and I'm not running those down. If you get on those, just be careful on those. I'll warn you of that. But everything is about come to me and let me tell you about my life and about pleasing ourselves. You know, it's sad. Even churches have become that way. Not all of them, but a lot of churches. It's all about the people, about being comfortable. I wonder how many people would be in church this morning if there was no air condition. I wonder how many would be in church this morning if we had to meet outside. You see, when we love God, true faith will produce, when you think about self-denial, it won't be about us anymore. It'll be about God. It'll be about others, serving the Lord and helping others with God's power. You know, she cared about those two men. Those were men of God, and she was going to help them out. Also, she considered her family. She asked them, she goes, what about my family? She said, my family, my father's house. And they told her, bring everybody in that house. They'll be spared if they're there. You know, we have a woman who cared about others. You know, a changed life, a new life. You know, also, Rahab's faith produced hope. Real quick, this situation was improbable when you think about it. The Israelites, at this time, the Israelites were still on the other side of the Jordan River. The spies had come in, but they hadn't even crossed the river yet. Joshua sent them to spy out the land, and Rahab believed God would keep his word to his people. Even though they had to cross the river, they had to go through some other obstacles, Rahab believed that God would bless them. And when they finally arrived, could you imagine this? They arrived. Now keep in mind, Rahab didn't know God's plan. Joshua didn't receive the plan until he arrived at Jericho. Unless they had a way to get the message into Rahab, which I seriously doubt. She didn't know what was going on the outside of those walls. And so here she is. Could you imagine? She finds out that the Israelites are there. Now I'm sure she knew they were there. I'm sure that was the talk of the city. And the Israelites were there. They were there. And she was probably waiting, saying, they're going to charge this city. They're going to overcome it. There's going to be an invasion, and we're going to win this. And then on that first morning, she sees them walking around the city. Think about that. And then they go home. That's it. She may have wondered, where are you going? Are you leaving? And they do that for 7 days. And I imagine during that time, there's probably a lot of mocking and laughter going on inside Jericho. They were sure they were safe inside that walled city. And here she is in the midst of that. Evidently, she kept her faith. The Bible tells us that she remained in that house and she waited for them. So she kept her faith in the midst of all those that were doubting. And really, she kept her faith when it was really improbable. And eventually, she was blessed. You know, faith is not believing in that which, of course, can happen. What I mean by that is, faith is not when you look out and you see the lightnings, you know, going and the thunder starting to crash and it's getting ready to sprinkle and you say, you know what, I think it's going to rain. That's not faith. That's making basically an assessment based on what you see. Faith is when you're able to look and say, you know what, God said it's going to rain. And you look around, the sun's out, and you say, it's going to rain. God has said so. You see, that's faith, believing in what really we cannot see or we cannot prove. Now, that was just an illustration. When you think about the Word of God, faith is believing in God's Word even though we have not seen some of the things come to pass yet. We believe it because God said it. Because God has been faithful. God has never, let anybody down. God has always kept His Word. So He's given us no reason to doubt Him. We have faith in God. That's what she did. She had faith in God. She believed in the improbable. You know, faith produces contentment because we believe that God's in control of the situation. I often find people that are discontent. Maybe there's one here this morning that's discontent with their situation in life. Maybe you're discontent where God has placed you at work. Maybe there's some things going on within your family. You know, I believe discontentment often comes from a lack of faith. Just not trusting that God can work, that God's in control, that God has put you there for a purpose and for a reason, and that God is able to deliver you if He should choose to, or if He would want you to go through that trial, He'll give you the strength to endure it. You see, that's faith in God. When we began to look beyond the problem and began to put our eyes in God and say, God, You're in control, You have a reason for me to be here, then all of a sudden, not only is our faith strengthened, but then contentment comes. And peace comes along with it. And it's all due to our faith in God, trusting the Lord. Rahab trusted God as she trusted that the Lord would work. Finally, notice the unlikely success. Bible says Rahab was spared. We go back to Genesis chapter 6. I want to read you just one verse Joshua chapter 6. I'm going too far back there. Joshua chapter 6. And it says there in verse 25. Now this is later. It says, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Rahab was spared when the city was destroyed. You do realize God kept His word. God protected this woman by faith. She put her faith in God, and she trusted in the Lord. Now the remainder of the city was destroyed. We go back to our main text where we started in Hebrews chapter 11. You want to see why they were destroyed? Hebrews chapter 11 gives us the answer. It says there, Hebrews 11 verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them. Notice that it says this, that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. I believe they were destroyed because they believed not. There was no faith there. They didn't turn to God. They didn't trust in the Lord. They believed not. Now they believed He was leading the Israelites, but they didn't believe He could help them. For whatever reason, they remained stubborn. You know, I've often asked, why do people not come to the Lord? I don't know. I don't know. I know when God worked in my heart, I know why I came. I know when I recognized my sin and my need for salvation, I know why I went to the Lord. And this morning, if you're saved, I'm sure you can tell why you turned to God when you recognized your sinful condition and your need of salvation and you sought God's forgiveness. That's why you came to the Lord. But you know, why people don't come to the Lord, you'd have to ask them. Some, it's pride. They just don't want to bow down before anybody, not even God of heaven. Some, it's just stubbornness, man. They just don't want to hear about it. Whatever it is, they are refusing to get things right with God. Here, it was unbelief. They just didn't believe. They persisted in their unbelief, and they were destroyed. You know what we find? God is no respecter of persons. That's what Peter found. When he's talking about Cornelius, and Cornelius was saying, you know, God is no respecter of persons. Here we find God is no respecter of persons. Think about this. He accepted the harlot because she put her faith in Him. And you know who He destroyed? The successful businessmen, the leaders of the city, because they refused to believe. This morning, don't be fooled into believing that God will look upon you, see something good, and spare your soul. Did you hear me? Don't be fooled into thinking that God will look upon you, see something good within you, and then save your soul. That's not how it works. When God looks upon us, He sees sin. We have a sinful condition, and obviously, because of that sinful condition, we have sinful acts. We've committed sinful acts. We're sinners. The Bible tells us that. Romans 5:12. We know that we are sinners because of Adam. Also, we're sinners because of our actions. You see, if you refuse to believe on Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter who you are this morning. If you refuse to believe on Jesus Christ, you will suffer the fires of an eternal hell. It doesn't matter if you were born here in America. It doesn't matter if you're born in another country. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what position you have in this society. If you refuse to believe on Jesus Christ, then you'll be rejected by God the Father. That's what the Bible teaches. You know, Peter said this. You know, Jesus Christ talking about him in Acts chapter 2, where it says, whereby we must be saved. He's the one we must come to for salvation. He himself said, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, this morning, I look around, I hope and pray everyone here is saved, that you've got that settled. But if not, take that seriously this morning. Get things right with God before the time is too late. I truly believe in my heart, reading this passage, and from what I know of the Bible, I don't know much, but I truly believe in my heart that had that entire city went to Rahab's house that day, tried to get in, seeking God to spare them and forgive them, I believe God would have spared that city. I do. I believe God would have forgiven them if they would have believed. He did with Nineveh. We find that later in the book of Jonah, that entire city repented and turned to God, and God forgave them. You see, the people here remained in unbelief, but not Rahab. No, she's a picture of faith. A picture of a woman who looked to God for forgiveness and was saved. You know what she is proof of? First, she's proof that God will accept someone that once lived an immoral life. And by the way, that's all of us. You know, none of us is above this. You know, some will say, well, I didn't commit that sin. No, you didn't commit the sin she did, but you've committed other sins. We're all sinners. And if you're saved, you're a sinner saved by grace. Praise God every day for your salvation. But she's proof that God will accept an immoral sinner. Someone serving the lusts of their flesh can be accepted by God. Also, she's proof that human depravity at its worst, and I believe she probably was, you think about it, her condition and also her culture, human depravity at its worst can be overcome by God. Of course, we know that Jesus Christ died on that cross to die for our sinful nature, to die for sin, so we can be saved. You see, there is no sin too great for God to forgive. This morning, looking out, I don't know your heart. Maybe there's one here this morning that has never come to Christ. Maybe you have never come because you just didn't believe God would forgive you, that you have a past that you're holding on to, that you're guilty, and you say, I've done so many bad things. Well, if you've done those bad things and you recognize it, that's good. You need to get to Jesus Christ. He'll forgive you now. You see, there's no sin too great for God to forgive, or there's no sin too powerful for God to overcome. Now, that's my next thought, real quick. Those that are saved, guess what? We still live in a world of sin. And sometimes, if you were saved from a past where you lived in sin, some of those sins may continue to haunt you. They may continue to bother you in your life. Think about Rahab. That name, that title stuck with her. Harlot, that stuck with her. She had to carry that through life. We find that today, thousands of years later, she still has that title. Now, she's forgiven. God forgave her. But sometimes the sins of the past will hold on to us as far as sitting there and cause us to feel guilty. This morning, I want to tell you, first, if you are saved here this morning, you're forgiven. God has forgiven you. There's nothing better in this world than to be forgiven. You've ever done something against somebody, maybe children do something against the parents or even a friend or your spouse, and you begin to feel guilty. You know you've done wrong. You got to get things right. There's nothing better than to go to someone and say, I'm sorry, you please forgive me. And they say, I forgive you. And it's just great to be forgiven and move forward. This morning, if you have went to God through Jesus Christ, you've trusted in Him as your Savior, if you sought His forgiveness and it came from the heart, you are forgiven. It's done. You know, the devil may try to hold your past over your head. Even the people of the world, some of your friends may try to hold that past over your head. But I tell you what, before God, you're forgiven. And if God has forgiven you, don't worry about it. Move forward with God. Serve the Lord. Be faithful. And live a life that is pleasing unto God. And separate from that old life and go forward. You see, God can give us power to overcome that sin that once, I guess you say, we were slaves to. Also, this morning, never believe that anyone is beyond God's saving grace. And that can happen. You know, as Christians, that can happen when we witness to people. We can go to a house as we get ready to knock on the door and say, I'm not sure if anyone's going to be saved in this house. You know, we can make, I guess you say, judgments based upon what we see or what we hear or what we think. But let's never believe anyone is beyond God's saving grace. There, the power of God to save a sinner knows no limits. God can save any sinner if they come to Him with a repentant heart and by faith. And I believe the Lord is ready to forgive sinners if they come to Him by faith. First, of course, there must be recognition of sin. The Bible tells us that in Mark chapter 2. We must recognize that we're sinners and we need God's forgiveness. And that's where it comes in next. There must be forgiveness. And that's what God gives when sinners seek Him. Never believe, here's another thought, never believe sin cannot be overcome and that someone cannot live a new life for God. You see, that's what happens too. But God can change a heart. God can give new life. This morning, if I didn't believe God could change your heart, I wouldn't even be preaching this morning. I wouldn't. If I didn't believe God could change lives, why even go through the motions if I didn't believe that? I believe God can change lives. I believe God can give new life to those that are lost. And then afterwards, God can give power to overcome sin. You see, God is able to change the heart and provide the power, His power, to live for Him. You know, you think of this. What became of Rahab? What became of Rahab? The Bible tells us that she was blessed with a new life. We already read in Joshua chapter 6, verse 25, that she dwelt in Israel. You realize she didn't leave. They didn't kick her out. She was now part of that nation. She dwelt in Israel, one of God's children, one of God's people. And I'm sure that she was taught the ways of the Lord. I've seen believers, and maybe there's someone here like this, that was raised without God, in a home without the Bible, never went to church. I've seen believers come to know Christ. And you know what I often see? I tell you what, they're in their Bibles. They're excited to be in church because they're catching up with all those years of how they were living in sin. And they have all sorts of questions. And some of you are like that. You're saved. You have a new life. And you just want to know as much about God as you can. You know, as a pastor, that's encouraging to see that change that takes place. And just a desire to serve the Lord. I imagine she must have sought after God and learned to follow His ways. You know, it's also interesting. According to Matthew chapter 1, she married a man by the name of Solomon. You realize that Rahab became the mother of the esteemed Boaz, who later married Ruth. And Rahab was also the great-great-great-grandmother of King David. I tell you what, this woman had faith and found herself in the line of the Messiah. You can't tell me God is not great, that God does not forgive, and that God does not bless those that seek His forgiveness. This, and you think about it, this pagan harlot was saved by grace and through faith. This immoral woman was changed, given a new life and a new future. You know, in closing this morning, let us not look down on anybody. Let us not think we're above anybody else. You know, we're given that warning several times in the Scriptures to beware of having a proud heart or a proud look. Let's be careful of thinking we're above anybody. Let's not measure people by their past. People can be forgiven. They can live new lives. They can get things right with God, and they can serve the Lord faithfully. Also, let's not judge by appearance. Let's not say, well, that because they appear to do this or that. Let's allow God to work in their life. You know, in case anyone wondered if God accepts vile sinners consumed with lust, the answer is yes, He does, by faith. By faith. You see, this morning, if we get nothing else out of this verse, here it is, that God will accept sinners by faith. If they come to Him, He'll forgive them, He'll accept them and bring them into their family. Rahab was full of sin. Yes, she was. But she was also saved by grace and through faith. Any sinner has the privilege of approaching God. And I believe any sinner will be accepted if they come to God through Jesus Christ. Rahab did not care what others thought. How about you this morning? Do you care what others think? You know, that keeps some people from coming to Christ, though. What do my dad think? What do my mom think? What do my parents think? What do my friends think? You know, sometimes what happens, too, is people will make a false profession at a young age. And I did this. I thought I was saved. Just because I went forward, all my friends went forward. I thought it was a good idea. I wasn't saved. I just followed the crowd. Later in life, when God worked upon my heart, I tell you, one of the thoughts that crossed my mind was, well, what do people think? I already made this decision, I thought, when I was younger. Doesn't matter what people think. Get things right with God. If God has pressed that upon your heart and you look back at your life and say, you know what, I wasn't serious about that, then make that a serious issue. Get things right with God. Rahab didn't care what people thought. Also, you think about this. She didn't know much about God, but what she knew, she believed. And that's the key there too. You know, I think we're probably on the opposite end of that. Most of you, if you don't have the Bible in your hands right now, a hard copy, you have it on your phone or on your iPad or somewhere. We have God's Word where we can read it and go to it. Some of us have it, you know, several copies of it. We're on the other side of that. Let's not take that for granted. What God has given to us, let's put our faith in. Let's trust what the Lord has. Also, when you think about it, she became a great woman of faith. All because of God. That's what it amounts to. Faith in an unlikely source and in an unlikely situation led to unlikely success because of the power and grace of God. This morning, as we get ready to have a time of invitation, I hope and pray that you have put your faith in God, that you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, repented of your sin. If you have, and you did that, then you're saved here this morning. This morning, you can thank God that He has saved your soul, forgiven you of your past. Whatever it is, you don't need to share that past with others. It's yours. It's forgiven. Now move forward in the future. But maybe you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith in Christ. You've been in church. You've been good. You've tried to do what's right. But you have never repented of your sin and trusted in Christ as your Savior. If that's the case, this morning, I think it's evident from the Scriptures, if you do that, God will accept you. God will accept you. You'll be forgiven, and He'll give you a new life. And I hope and pray that if that's the case this morning, you get that settled with God. As we have the invitation, you can come down here, get that settled. If you have any questions, someone can take the Bible, and we can show you from God's Word. If you have any more questions concerning salvation, how you can know that you're saved. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day that You've given to us. I thank You for this testimony of Rahab, Lord, and her faith in You. I also thank You, Lord, of Your forgiveness. I thank You for forgiving my soul, and I thank You for saving me. And Lord, this morning, if there's anyone here, as we have this time of invitation, if there's anyone here that is without salvation, I pray today they'll get things settled with You. And for those that are saved, Lord, I pray this will be a reminder of how good You are to us. We pray You bless this invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ask you to keep your heads bowed, eyes closed for just a few minutes. As the piano begins to play, if God has worked on your heart in any way, we give you an opportunity to seek the Lord in prayer. If you do have questions concerning salvation, I encourage you, if you come down this morning, we can show you from the Bible what God has to say about salvation. Or if you already know what you need to do, get it settled. Just take it to God and get it settled. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and like Rahab, you've been saved from a sinful past. It may not be the same sin, but it was a different sin. And that sin, of course, has hindered you later in life. Maybe you have a title. Maybe people see you as this. And if that's the case, thank God you're forgiven. And separate from that sin. Leave it. Walk with the Lord.